Approach my screw third bridge, right? Okay. Every day I have to get and say this to God, Father. In the name of Jesus, we receive revelation knowledge and is found in the written word.
As you, Jesus, even as he sees us in him, he is glorified, we are edified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Glory to God.
Okay.
It's going to be a short one. Hallelujah. Okay, very short. Now, Matthew 28, verse 16. Let's take it out from there. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. For some doubted, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power, that's all authority, has been given me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go ye therefore, preach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Mark 16, 4, verse 15. And he said to them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned, and this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere the word, Lord walking with and confirming this word, the signs follow him. Luke 24 to 45. And he opened he their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, possible is not possible for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance which is the remission of sin, the preaching of him among God nations within Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. John 20:22. It says, and he said to them, and when he said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sin ye remitted, and whosoever ye retained. Hallelujah.
So, we said, first of all, this would have to be the instruction of Jesus, right? When he taught them. So that means in the teaching of the word, we receive instructions, right?
Hallelujah. In the teaching of the word, we receive instructions. Now, only to follow me. So, and we said, he would give them that instruction from Galilee, right?
That instruction will be instruction he would give from Galilee. And we said, it will, in theology, location, geography is vital in theology. How come you guys are
so he gives that instruction from Galilee, and with that, geography will be important in theology. Hallelujah. Geography will play a vital role in theology. I saw some of these things last week and yesterday, right? Location, geography, it's very vital. Glory to God. It's very, very vital. Amen. Amen. Yesterday when we discussed the understanding, answering to this question to this question from scriptures, we saw the word Mount Moriah, right? Moriah is that same mountain where Abraham wanted to offer Isaac. It will be the same mountain where Jesus was crucified. Did you see that? It will play a major role in theology. Hallelujah. We saw the Jordan. Jordan experienced by the children of Israel from the wilderness was to show a new beginning, a restart, right? And where will you find, it shows a fresh start, a new start. We'll find, because in Israel,
those that go to Canaan pronounce Jordan as what? A restart. Did you see that? A restart. That is to say, what happened to our fathers when they left Egypt has happened to us. Did you see that? So it shows redemption. It shows a new start. So Elisha will now tell Naaman, go wash in Jordan. He's going to Jordan to wash his theology. It was a miracle, but that miracle points to a greater miracle, right? But that washing in Jordan is theology. Hallelujah. So when he washed, what happened? He came back fresh. He came back new, right? How he's supposed to be. So that means from the Jordan will be a restart, will be a new beginning. Hope you're following that. So John goes to the Jordan. John gets to the Jordan and is baptizing. Now, remember, he told them about what? He told them about redemption. He told them about the Christ, the Christos. The Christos will say, right? There's one who cometh after me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to tie, right? Sorry, to untie. Who should? So he talks about the Christ, and he says, when he shall come, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Did you see that? Say, I baptize you with water. So he goes to the Jordan. Why did he not use any other water? There are several other waters in Israel, right? He could have used Bethesda. He would have used any other water, any other river, but he went to the Jordan, because Jordan will be crucial in theology to show that there will be a restart. There will be redemption. Do you see that? Hold on, follow me. That means he's telling them, hey, there is, our forefathers had to go through the Jordan for us to get there. So God, this is God's redemption. That is what he's trying to tell them. Hold on, follow me. So location, geography will play a vital role in theology. Hold on, follow me. To play a vital role in theology. So Galilee, we said, will be Galilee of the nations. So Jesus goes, tells them, okay, meet me in Galilee. And from Galilee, he tells them, go into all the nations. So Galilee, his being in Galilee is theology. Because God's plan is the nations. God's plan is the whole world. And Galilee is where you have the nations. In Isaiah 9:1, it's called the Galilee of the nations. Matthew 4:23 is called Galilee of the Gentiles. You see that? So it's called a place where both the Jews and the Gentiles, they meet. Do you understand? So that is the nations. You find, so Galilee will represent the nations, and Jesus stands in Galilee of the nations and say, go into all the nations. Okay, following me. So it will be important. Hallelujah. It will be important. So Jesus will appoint for them a place. Those are the things, those are some of the things we see. Hallelujah. I hope to see how I can round up this teaching between now and next week, and then we'll pick it up again. Hallelujah, some other time, but I'm trying to round it up. Help there. I'm trying. Not easy? I'm trying. So that we can start Holy Ghost meeting. Right? I said that we'll have a Holy Ghost meeting from third week, right? Amen? Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. So let's go ahead. So, in Galilee we'll have every nations. Isaiah 9:1, Matthew 4:23. Was that what we said? So, when he says, go make disciples. Now, that is an instruction, right? And we say that instruction of the scriptures, instructions in theology, instructions of God, instructions of the kingdom, right? Because what Jesus taught them was concerning the kingdom. What Jesus taught them was concerning the kingdom. Hallelujah. So Jesus will use words like Kerusso, Euangelion. Preach the gospel, right? We tell them preach the gospel. To show you that it is a kingdom narrative. It is a kingdom narrative. Preach the gospel from the word basar. Basar. Basar is used for a news of war. So when you hear the word basar, you also say the gospel is good news, good news. It's a good news, but there's a bad news there. Right? Right? It includes both of those. Bad news is that. Okay, now Jesus will not use the word euangelion for us. Why will he not use you are for what is good? It's because of his victory. You see that? But in the word euangelion you have is not so a good news because Jesus died. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you are following me. Amen. Good news. Good news, good news. Christ died for me. Good news, good news. Oh, if I believe. Oh, good news, good news. I have eternal life. Right? Is that a song? Is that a song? The Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The good news. A victory. So he uses that word. But a victory or a loss in a war. So there is a war. So when Jesus went, Peter, true Mark. You know, Mark is Peter's disciple. So Mark's account is also called Peter's, it's called Peter's synopsis. Amen? Because he was writing Peter's synopsis. Now, and Matthew will write for Mark's account. Because that is Peter's synopsis. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, what would Mark say? He says, this sign shall follow them. You see that? When he uses the word sign, he shows you is a kingdom war. Hallelujah. This sign shall follow them, I believe. My name will cast out devils. You see that? He uses, those are kingdom narratives. Cast out. Those are kingdom words. You see that? Hallelujah. Kingdom words. He uses another one. They shall speak with new tongues. Now you say, how is that kingdom? That's kingdom. Every kingdom has its language. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Every kingdom has their language. So he uses words like that. Kingdom narrative. Hallelujah. And the word basa, you find basa first used in Samuel, King, Second Kings and Chronicles. But before you say, okay, Basa is not from Genesis. You will not find it used in Genesis, yes. But Moses will employ another kingdom narrative, right? Right? To make you see that is a kingdom, the gospel is a kingdom is a kingdom word, right? We're talking about the kingdom of God. So Moses opens up with God's kingdom, heaven and earth. God wants the whole earth to be his kingdom, right? Right? At the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens are from above, that's what the sun is. And God said, verse 26, let them find an image, let them have dominion. Watch that word, dominion. Dominion is a kingdom word. Right? Subdue. Kabash in the Hebrew. Kabash, that is a kingdom word. Kabash. Now when you think the word kabash, kabash is used in relation to land, territories. It is in relation to territories, land. Look at Numbers 32 verse 22. Numbers 32 verse 22. Look at it. It says, and the land be subdued before the Lord. Did you see that? Then afterwards they shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and the land shall be your possession before you. So kabash is used for a land. That land, territory. And you can read it as the territory be subdued before the Lord. The territory. Did you see that? Amen. The territory. You'll find it in Joshua 18 verse 1. Joshua. Joshua 18. Alright? That's what I say. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. And the Lord was, and the land, Jesus, and the territory was subdued before them. Did you see that? Was subdued before them. 2 Samuel 8 11. 2 Samuel 8 verse 11. He said, which also the king did dedicate unto the Lord, and the silver and the gold he dedicated of all the nations which he had subdued. This that is for nations. This is that nations. You also find in First Chronicles 22 verse 18. That's 18.
It says, is not the Lord your God? It says, is not the Lord your God with you, and has he not given you rest on every side? For he had given the inhabitants of the land unto my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Isn't that so? The word subdued is used for territory. So when Moses used that word subdue, have dominion, subdue, he was referring to that as a kingdom narrative. Isn't that? It's a kingdom narrative. Hallelujah. So Moses too employed kingdom narrative. Glory, glory, glory. So when Jesus used the word euangelion, you know, that means Jesus had to cross the language barrier from Basa, right? You saw a messenger and a message. We're going to look at some of those things shortly. Not today. It used to be a messenger and a message that he carried. So when Jesus uses that word, euangelion, what has he done? He has not just translated, he has interpreted. Amen? How has he interpreted? Remember, I told us that interpretation is not all about translation. Right? But translation will be found in interpretation. Way to go. Amen? Okay, found in interpretation. So that means I will first of all interpret it in their world. So in their world, Basa is used for good news and not so good news. You get me? Right? So he brings it to his world, and looking at what he has accomplished, he didn't just use it as anyhow news. He now implies the word. Look at what he has done. It's not a bad news, right? He now calls it euangelion. That is translation. I mean, that is interpretation. You see that? That is interpretation. He crossed it. So most times it is when you understand it in their world, Basa in their world, when you translate it, I mean when you are crossing it over, you will not know how to apply it in your world. Do you get me? So the gospel is the good news because of Christ's victory. So and I thought of that every Bible student is confronted with interpretation of scriptures. And this time, because of the fact that one, it was not written in your language, it was not written, and you have two words with two different languages, you have to cross language barriers. So that means in our world today, if I ask to translate, if I'm to interpret scripture, I would have to do a lot of translation. Why? I'll have to cross the two words. Then I'll not interpret to my world. Hope you're following this. I mean, I will not interpret it into my word, not in my word, into my world. That will be the application, right? We have to see, so in doing that, I will have to not just take a word and give it a universal meaning. Hallelujah. That's why if you watch me, your pastor, I don't give you meaning of words in scriptures. I don't think I do. Right? As I most times, you carry your, those who use concordance, discover you use concordance. I use strong. I'm not doubtful. I use strong concordance. I have the hard copy B. I check that always. But I still check strong this morning. Amen? I check strong. I have strong on my phone. I have it hard copy. I prefer the hard copy though. Now, but I don't use the definition there. Some people, when they have issues, is when they see, maybe they open strong and they say it will use 500 times. I will go through the 500 times. Trust me. I will check those 500 scriptures. Because it is in the usage that you get the meaning of words. How it has been used. Something I will show us in WIMA. How to get interpretation of words. How to see the usage of words. For example, I was sharing with one of your pastors. I said, if you look at the word, I want to help you out on something now. Look at the word pakah. Let me run through some things for you. Oh, I'll do that for in WIMA. I'll do that in WIMA. Oh, I'll do that in WIMA. Just somebody should remind me when we get to. Just remind me pakah. When we get to stop doing translation, that might be longer. That might take a longer time. But let me just help you out on it a bit. Now, when the word Moses, we use the word pakah, which is visiting the iniquity of the father. Moses uses that word. Now, if you want to give a general meaning of that word, you will miss it. Just like the use of the word metios. Okay, follow me. You always miss it.
Because when you look at that word pakah, the way Moses used it, he used it for forgiveness, for mercy. You see that? Right? He used it for mercy. He will have mercy. But when you pick that word, and use that word, and you pick that word and see how Isaiah used that word, pakah, he was not using it for mercy, he was using it for vengeance. For vengeance, how you repay evil. Amen? Amen? So you don't get confused. Pascal is actually, God is going to deal with them for sinning them. No. Actually, that is God. That is God. That is how God carries out his vengeance. God's vengeance is his law. But let me just tell you. It's his law. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, you know what? Okay, I can say that to you. This is my church. I'm not saying that for the public. Amen? Amen? That's God's law. God's law. But the usage is different. Just the same way we look at the word nepios, for example. You know, you can look at nepios and say, hey, you're a nepios, you saw a babe. It's a wrong word. It's a negative word. But we saw that it's used both negatively and what positively. How are you supposed to receive scriptures as a babe? So as the word of God is taught, how do you receive? You write them. I was in a church this morning, and people said, what did man say? You know, if you somewhere to be there, that pass this thing, you know, this is not what. But I carried my pen. In fact, I wrote pages. Because that is how you should receive God's word, irrespective of who is teaching. You must be a child. What are you following? I will tell myself, Lord, may I never be big in my eyes. When it comes to receiving your word, worshipping you. Amen. 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 So what is that? I know the word. It's not how I saw right now. Or it's what? You don't know what you're saying. I surrender the word. Yeah. Surrender it all. Amen. I'm not following you. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. So there was use like that. Amen? So, what would you do? A word does not have a universal meaning. What find that meaning in the context of usage? So that means, the meaning of a word does not lie with me, but lies with the writer. Therefore, a word will not mean today what it never meant when it was written. So I have to go back and see what is the writer saying. Because the writer is not on the scene. So the work of interpretation is to find out what was the writer communicating. That's the role of an interpreter. What was the writer saying? So in knowing what the writer is saying, I have to be in the seat of the audience and hear him myself. Amen? I have to sit in the seat and hear him myself. So how will I hear him? I will have to know what was in their culture. What was in their world. Right? What was in their world? How what were used in their world? What is their culture? What was predominantly happening in their world? Glory to God. What was the... How did they write in their word? They write in figures. They have slang. They have slogans. For example, I don't even know the meaning of when God said, I will visit the iniquities of the father upon the third and fourth generation. What is the meaning of third and fourth generation? What's the meaning of that? When the third and fourth generation. You see, that means I have to go back to their world. Can you understand? Because if you read it in your world, you think third and fourth generation is grandfather, father, I mean, your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Is that what it says? So, no! All I'm going to do, so I have to get back again. Right? I have to get back again. This in their seat, understand it in their world. Okay, follow me. So most times they will use words in their world. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Just like in our world now, you said, somebody is talking, I said, and he will gap up. You know, it may be in other 50 years, you write a book, I wrote, and Pastor Philemon gap up from the thing. See, what is the meaning of Jaffa from this thing? You know, in that maybe it doesn't now exist in their world, Jaffa, you know, it's just a slogan. But because they said, it's the same English, oh. Change and see. It's the same English.
And now see, Jaffa. What is Jaffa? If you say, but what is Jaffa? It's not a dictionary. You get it? I mean, the person will have to come and sit in your world. What is the meaning of Jaffa in your world? Just like someone telling me that the four winds of the earth, when you read scripture, it says, call for, like we read Ezekiel yesterday, it says, call for the wind from the four corners of the earth. What is the four corners of the earth? Somebody said the four cardinal points. You are nowhere. So, four corners of the earth. Okay, what is four corners of the earth? You want to use science to know it? No. You have to go to their world. It's a language in their world. What about the lady? It's a language in their world. Who does God have said it? Yes. Because God will use what is known to man. Amen? When someone comes to give science and he's giving you prophecy and he says, you shall not japa. You say, is that God? How can God know japa? God uses what is available to you. Amen? You don't see people give prophecy, I told you. Don't be surprised when somebody comes giving words of, he's giving options in Yoruba, he say, it's English. English is God's language. He said, no, nah, are you with you? Because you are used to, yeah, and it will grow, yeah, 2 to 4, I see the light of God. Oh, you are used to English. You know, like, I used to English. That's what I'm going to. I used to English. Yeah. God says, no, you are used to me. Right? And it's not wrong. But you know, but don't be surprised when somebody comes and is giving utterance a kalala. Or Ibibu. Are you from Ibibu? Is your language Ibibu? You don't even know your language. Amen? Amen? You're going to say, yes. Yeah, sister. I have a word for the word. Say for me, say, a cow funny. You say, sir, is that from the Lord? No, this is somewhere. Amen? Amen? You say, no, sir, I am used to. The Spirit of God. Yeah. I see. Yeah, I see. But now somebody is not giving you your language. I say, sir, is this theory? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So God will use what is available to man. I've taught you that, right? So you have to sit in that seat. Hear what they heard. Right? So when Moses tells them, third and fourth generation, they know what it meant. Because that was their world. Hallelujah. That was their world. What generation? And it will not mean your grandfather, great-grandfather, your children. No. No. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Okay. So that means too, I have been given that same responsibility to be able to cross the language barriers. Right? I should do that. And we began looking at spiritual growth. That spiritual growth is not your spirit growing. No. It is spiritual now. I am a spirit. The man is a spirit. That is the soul living in the body. So my spirit says spiritual growth. Talking about growth inside the spirit. No. Right? We've seen all that, right? That spiritual growth is actually evident. Is that what we said? Was that what we said? Say it to be seen, to be visible. To be visible. Ephesians 4:11. Ephesians 4. So it will be visible. And it will be visible in the local church. Is that what we said? It will be visible. So today we're going to dwell on some of the signals to spiritual growth. Signals of it. Hallelujah. So dwell on some of the signals. What are some of those things that bring about spiritual growth? Hallelujah. Amen? Some of those signals of it. We just dwell around there. And then, here we can put finishing touches to be next week, but not totally. But if you allow me to teach you all that I have, we'll be here till November. So what I will do is I will break it and I will take it up again. Amen? I'll break it up again, maybe sometimes in the year or first week of January. Just pick it up. I'm teaching, I want to pick around that period. Just pick it up again. Hallelujah. For another longer time.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Ephesians 4:11. He said, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Do you see that? For the perfecting of the saints. Right? For the work of the ministry. So that's the role of the leadership in the church. To perfect the saints. That is the word equipping. Parathizo. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's to all come to the unity of faith. That is, to all come, that's the stuff. Then to the unity of faith, to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth. You see that? Now, when you are speaking the truth, that means spiritual growth can be heard, can be seen. Speaking the truth, you see that? In love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, filthy joint, you see that? This is the result and effect. From whom the whole body, truly joined and compacted, by which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body in the edifying of itself in love. So that means spiritual growth can be visible, can be seen. Second Timothy 3:16. It is all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. It says they are profitable for doctrine. Second Timothy 3. Profitable for doctrine, say for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All good works. So, when he uses the word good works, it means it can be visible, right? Hallelujah. It will be seen in how the believer, he uses the word all good works, so it will be seen in how the believers, or in the believers walk in the earth. It will be seen in the believers walk in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when you say, talk about walk in the spirit. Okay, it's something we'll look. When you say walking in the spirit, walking in the spirit doesn't mean you don't close your eye like Avatar. And as teacher said, now walking in the air. Walking in the spirit is your conduct amongst men. Right? How we conduct ourselves. Amen. Walking by, this is walking out that which has been done to us in the new birth. We are living as the new birth. Come here, lady. So spiritual growth will be seen in our walk in the earth. It will be the walk in the spirit. It will be seen in our walk in the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means there are practices, we can put it this way, there are practices that they are practices of the believer that bring about spiritual growth. Glory to God. That practice, though, that believers practice, that practices of the believer that bring about growth. And you will discover when Jesus said, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now when he said teaching them, you know, we have seen that teaching brings about spiritual growth. And when Jesus gave them instruction to teach, it will be in the local church. So that means the spiritual growth will be found in the local church. It will be found in the teaching. And we saw that teaching, in teaching you observe Christ's conduct, you observe Christ's words and his conduct, right? That makes you a good disciple. Have we said that before? Hallelujah. So that means their conduct we'll see in Christ, right? Practices we'll see in him that are for spiritual growth. And it will be seen in the epistles, we'll see in the apostles, and also seen in the epistles as instructions. Hallelujah. You will see them in the apostles, in the book of Acts. They had it, and then in the epistles too. Hallelujah. They are signals of it, signals of spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. So when you get to Ephesians 4 again, when it says verse 4, when it says, there will be no more nephews, children, tossed through and through. It means, listen, it means one who is not growing spiritual too, will be physically seen. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. But the one who is not going spirituality will be known. He says, I'm going to put out something on social media this evening once I'm done. Once I'm done with service. There is, you cannot say, there is no, and I want to say it in church. So you don't, I don't communicate to my church member via social media. But I just put it out on social media for others to read. Now, you cannot say you are a gospel minister. Say it is an office. My office is the ministry of songs. There is nothing like that. We are following this. There is no office. If there is anything called office. Yes, there is. Okay, the office of the pastor. Ministry gifts. Okay, ministry gifts. But there is none called. No, they fall under evangelist. No, it's evangelism. How is that the evangelism? How is that the evangelist? Listen, everybody look up. Let me blow your mind. Look up, open your Bible to that Ephesians 4. Okay, are you there? You know, most times people say something. The reason why sometimes some people don't know how to react back to them because they don't know the scriptures. Are you in Ephesians 4? Look at it, verse 11. Are you on it? Now, he gives some for the stop. So that means, remember we said all those ministry gifts, right? Found in the local church and all summarized in the pastor, right? But let's even say they are different. Yeah. But where would that be? In the where? Local stop. Somebody who comes out and say, I'm an evangelist. And my role is to be going out. My call in Christ is evangelist. Evangelist. So they go out everywhere. Preaching. And I'm not saying preaching is wrong. But the fact that a man preaches the gospel, goes out and do evangelism, does not mean he's an evangelist. What is the role of an evangelist? Perfecting the saints. You see that? That means it is in the local church. That means an evangelist is one, listen, who is, I was going to talk about all these, when we get to talk about Holy Ghost speaking. I want to target a different name. Maybe you might not hear Holy Ghost speaking, but it's the Holy Ghost speaking. Holy ground. Hallelujah. Holy ground. Amen. I like that. Holy ground. That is the teaching that is coming to my mind. Holy ground. So, evangelist, the role of an evangelist is not found towards the unbeliever. What is the role? Where is the role of an evangelist found? Perfecting of the saints. You see that? Okay, follow me. But sir, what about when the Bible now says, do the work of an evangelist? Timothy was not saying he should go and be doing evangelism, even if evangelism should be his lifestyle. When he said, do the work of an evangelist, it is towards the saints. It's not towards the unbeliever. It says towards the saints. It says for the perfection of, it has said for the perfection of the saints and the unbeliever, right? No, it says for the perfection of the saints. So the role of an evangelist is towards the saints. The role of the ministry gift, not just evangelist, is towards the saints. Hope you're following me. Towards the equipping of the saints. But sir, Philip was called an evangelist. Was he called an evangelist before because he was going about preaching? No, every other person went about preaching, right? But was called an evangelist because of his role towards the church in Samaria. Are you following me? Are you following me? Amen. So you have to say to that. No bribery about it. It's just so. Yeah, my glory because I do evangelism. No. It's for the perfection. You know, they say, no, perfection for the saints. It's so that they can be raptured. Rapturable. The word of perfecting there is equipping them. And who now does the work of the ministry? So that the saints who do the work of the ministry, who is the saint? The pastor inclusive. So we all do the work of the ministry. So you are perfected, you are equipped so that we can do the work of ministry together. Hallelujah. Okay, following me. Okay, following me. Tell it right. Say no, it's the work of evangelism. So you move from church to church, singing, and you say you are evangelist. No, we must find you. That means the role of an evangelist is the role, if it is a ministry gift in the church, that means he must be a teacher of the word. Who are following me? Must be a teacher of the word. There's nothing called ministry in songs. I've been careful to talk about this, but some people don't think I'm attacking them. But that's the truth. Hallelujah. That's the truth. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I put something out that was 2 nights ago, but I took it back. I said, this is not the right time. I took it back. If I knew, some people already shared it, I took it back. You went back, you will see no content. I took it back. I retracted it. Let me teach you first. Hallelujah. Yeah, I don't communicate to you online.
Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory.
Hey. So, when you hear perfecting now, we got there for a reason. So, we use the word that will be no more children, right? Toss, throw, and throw. Talk about the work of the pastor is that of teaching. Now, it says that will be no more babes. That means we can be seen, right? Right? And that's why God to talking about those music, whatever. Now, the role of a believer, how do I put it? Lack of spiritual growth or non-spiritual growth is visible. So spiritual growth is visible, non-spiritual growth is visible. When a man is not growing spiritually, he's seen. The Bible says that he is tossed to and fro. Now when you think about tossed to and fro, it shows inconsistency. Inconsistency. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Today is in this church. Next tomorrow is in this church. Next tomorrow is in the fire of all tongues saints assembly. Next tomorrow is in evangelical mission worldwide. Hey, that is it. Evangelical mission of South African global tongue fire ministry. It's like you don't really say I'm calling their church name. You just go down from church to church. Next place is in the rivers, is in the valley of water. Next place is in the no now. You just go down. I like that man, he has word. He was just saying it for me. Let's say, move to somewhere. I like that pastor, he has word. I like this place, he has word. You are just wrong, bro. They say, what is wrong with you? It's somebody from your great-grandfather lineage. What's wrong with you? It's because of, you like keeping bushy hair. What's wrong with you? It's because you've been babbing Molo. They say, man of God. So does it mean, does Molo have anything to do in the rest of the spirit? That is because you are unstable. Inconsistency. Inconsistency is not a right signal for spiritual growth. A man who is not consistent in a church for at least 40 years cannot grow spiritually. Not consistent. At least. After 4 years, you are shifting ground. How can you grow? He says, I've been growing. Just as he has said, I've been growing. Amen. Be there! There are men who have stayed 60, 70, 80 years in a particular church. Yeah? At least, I'm telling you, at least 40 in the place, learning the word. Consistency. You cannot be inconsistent and want to find spiritual growth. Remember, you see someone, those are some of the things I will teach you next week. We'll talk about it very well. Amen? Amen? Inconsistency. You are never here nor there. You can't find you. You are just like a pinukwa. You can't find you anywhere. They don't say like that in Ibu. It's just another, they say, Pukwa chinaka ona miali. Meaning, you cannot hold, you know what they call ukwa? I don't know the English name, sorry. You don't know ukwa? Okay, you know ukwa. active pancane, but there's ukwa, it's somehow why. The meaning, and why they say that you can't hold it and hold your hand together, if you hold it like that, it will come out. Yeah, that will come out. So they can't hold it to a particular thing. Before they will hold it, let her do never, let her do follow. I'm going to say, I'm not attending global vision missionary mission. They are not attending the worldwide. So, no, this is just Saint Pavilion. It has a Tush name. No, you can attend places like demons, power must change vessels. Global evangelistic prophetic outreach outpost. Man of God. We only have pastors in my church. We have apostles, we have prophets, we have all the ministry is. We have bishops. Oh my goodness. Yeah, just look at your pastor's voice. The pastor's voice is alto, no, it's soprano. A part of when you see the bad soul, you don't remember the devil, yes. Come on, just don't be silly. Hallelujah. Amen. So that means if inconsistency is a sign of nepios, meaning one who is not growing spiritually, if when they say be no more children, that means he's talking about spiritual growth, right? So if inconsistency, thoughts through and forth, is a sign of not growing spiritually, that means spiritual growth, a signal of spiritual growth will be consistency. What about it? Consistency. And look here, the Christian life is a life of consistency. Consistency. I put it consistency, continuity. Continuity. You're in church, you say, I'm going to be in this, I'm going to serve God in this church for my lifetime. For the next 8 years, I'll be serving. Hallelujah. Some people don't know how to. That is why it's because people have not made up their mind, have not seen consistency, continuity in a particular local church. Any little thing gets them angry. Every little thing. Yeah, that sister came to church and did not greet me. Who are you? Well, I teach you to greet. Right? That sister offended me. Offended me in church. Offended me, so therefore I'm no longer going to the church. Angel of his presence. We hear you. Hallelujah. Consistency. They are basic. I tell you, they are basic. Basic thing that the believer should be consistent on, or consistently doing. Consistent. One, you must be consistent coming to church. Consistent. When you begin to allow excuse, you are not good. It's a bad signal. Okay, what it is? Bad signal. Hebrews 10. Welcome to Hebrews 10. Mark it. You know, I told us that a recipe for spiritual growth is that you will not find it's not excitement, right? Right? Aha. It's not excitement. I'm talking to your church. Remember, the first day you got to church, you know that deal. No, the first day you got to, yeah, some of you, you had me speak the first day. I can still remember Sister Deborah. The first day she heard me speak. You know where? No, don't touch it. I want the whole world to hear you. Hallelujah. I remember the first day she heard me speak. I was preaching. I gave her the day. She invited me to that daughter was but they were sitting down. I was preaching. You see the way? She was just excited. But something caught her excitement short. That was Semo. If you know what that means. Semo caught her. But she was excited. I could see it in her eyes. In my head, I was like, "Share the guru, I will teach this thing." You know, that point where you have a new member in church, there, and the person is, you are not preaching. The person is not at time. The person is just looking to you and say, "Yes, my salvation has come." You know, you want to go for it. I said, "Let me give you one." You know, you'll be, "Ah!" You know, you say, "Yay, box my brain." Yeah, that was Now, she wanted to come around for all the meetings. Wanted to be around. Even if her cell leader then was a thorn in her flesh. But, you know, I said that was a thorn in her flesh. But they were best friends. When we went to church, she was a thorn in her flesh. But you know what? She wanted to be around on Sunday. Ah! She wanted to be around. She will not come to him on Sunday. The whole world you hear it. I don't know who that Deborah is. Check our Facebook page. I'll put our picture there. Yeah? Yeah? You can talk Semo for Africa. Apart from the leading of the story, the next thing that leads that is Semo. Yeah? Semo can lead her. Oh my God, Semo is going places. Glory to God. You know? Amen? Amen? Half what is Semo? Semo is a Greek word for, but who doesn't know Semo? But it will shock you that some generations after now, when they leave, they say, "Sir, what is Semo?" Anyway, so let's go ahead. So you see, consistency, right? Was that what I was saying? Consistency coming to church. It's not the way you felt the first day you heard pastor preach. You wanted to come to church. Ah! What do you want here? What did they say? Yeah, another one. Bang! Say, hey! How to create your world. You keep saying it. You know, my pastor. And you know, you now keep hearing the same thing again. I thought I'll be hearing new things. You keep hearing the same thing again. Now I'm doing you like, come to church now, Matthew 26. I know. You know? You have passed excitement stage, right? That's the excitement stage. Now, the same way you will run to church, when you first join, that before pastor came up, you are in church. You know now, you are no longer in the excitement stage. You cannot want to relax. I know by now they will pray in tongues. They will pray. Yes, when you join that they will pray in tongues, you wanted to be around. Ah! When you be around, they pray and be the master. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, boy, shout out. I talk about you. You can't pray in tongues then at home. You know what you will say. So when you have a church time, you know, you wanted to just for now. For them. You come to church that time, they are praying tongues, you are moving up and down now. You know, yeah, you are going to pray in tongues. So you pray for 30 minutes. Then you wanted to, when they are stopping by 30 minutes, you say, no. Can we just pray more? I remember when I came to me, he said, can we increase prayer time? In my head, I was like, you just are there praying in tongues. Can we increase it? Just 10 more times. I didn't even find the person. The person is not said that here today. The person is not even in ministry today. I'm talking about Yeva. Hallelujah. You know, remember how you go around Sky Tower. You are praying in tongues and you are moving from post to post. Zato, Zapa, Leke, Teba, yeah. And now. So you think it's spiritual growth. You just come to church. Let's pray in tongues. You bring out one leg. And where I'm going spiritually. Even angels can't even hear you. You are forgetting. Something is wrong with your brain. Yeah. You should keep up that attitude. Now that attitude you had first. That attitude you had first. She shouldn't change. Yes, I understand why you were excited, but now you pass the excitement stage. Now that means you will have to keep up with it. Hallelujah. You have to keep up with being in church. Consistent in church. Consistent in all the meetings. Punctuality. Consistent coming to church. I want to open Hebrews 10, right? Okay. Are you there? Okay, verse 23. Verse 24. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. They're not forsaking. Did you see that? The assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. They're not forsaking. What that means? The manner of some that is, does it mean that let's look at it together. Let's take that seat. Does it mean that they were attending before? They were attending before, but now they are forsaking. They're not forsaking it like them. Like the manner of some. So that means I must not forsake the gathering of believers. I must be consistent in church. It's a signal. Consistency. So I must find consistency in church. Not just consistency, it was something I will add next week. My word will be punctuality. I must be consistent in church. Consistent in the activities in church when it comes to church. I must be found on... You remember the first time you had us, you had pastor teach long teaching, Hebrew, Greek, everything like, I don't think you know how you're going to deal with your disciples the first time. I catch that guy. No, you're not listening to go and preach to people. You are listening to learn, right? You are listening to learn. Now you can go. Hallelujah. I guess my time is up. But let me add one more. Let me add one more. I think I'm not going to spend more than 1 hour. Hallelujah. Okay. 5 minutes. Okay. Now, consistent, right? You know that? Consistently going to church. Another one you have to see is active. Where I will dwell a longer time, maybe not today but next week, but I will just show you. Active number 4. Now they wanted to choose men to start active. Look at what Peter said. He said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Isn't that? We'll give ourselves how? No, what about this? What did he say? We'll give ourselves sometimes. Sometimes to the ministry of the word, sometimes to prayer. No, he said continually. Can you put the consistency? Can we give ourselves consistently to the ministry of the word? Consistently. That is the lifestyle of a believer. Consistently. Consistency. Continue. Paul will tell Timothy, continue is the lifestyle of the believer. Continue. In spite and despite. Continue. Whether you fall out with a brother or not, continue. Say, I want to grow spiritually on my own. It has never happened. I can tell you for free. It's free change. I've seen it among several people. They never grew. You cannot grow outside the local church. So you must continue in the local church. And what do you find in the local church? Peter said, we'll continue. I'm going to go to prayer, ministry of prayer. So that means we're going to look at that. Now if you take continually to ministry of prayer, and we saw their life, we saw, if you read from, look up here. Peter said, we'll give ourselves continuously to the ministry of the word and prayer. We find out that from Act 1 down to Act 15, you find out that a whole lot changed about them. Their approach to ministry. Why? Consistency. Hallelujah. He shows that they were spiritual. I said there was a man of God that said, the book of Acts is not doctrinal. I didn't really buy that fully, but he said it was a growing church. A growing church, yes. Because the church must be seen as a growing church. Hallelujah! A growing church. So that means they grew spiritually. Big deep. They started off baptizing people with water. But did they baptize the elbow? They started off, okay, following me. So choose a member that replaced, they casted lots in Act 1. By Acts, they didn't cast lots. They didn't cast lots. Now they learned to lay hands and pray. Okay, following me. Glory to God. By Acts 13, they prophesied, they lay hands and pray. They look at love again. How about following this? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. They even learned how to answer questions. They learned how to resolve disputes over the time. Hallelujah. That means growth is important. They grew. So it's consistency. I'll give myself continually to prayer. We're going to look at that word. But because of time. Okay, let's quickly take on prayer immediately. Hey, you find prayer as the lifestyle of Jesus. That I don't put a lot of pressure on myself next week. I will take on some more after. I'm glad to teach on this today. Next week, round it up. Don't put pressure. Don't spend more time next week. Tell me some minutes. Hallelujah. Amen. So consistent. consistency in prayer. The lifestyle of Jesus was the life of prayer. Life of prayer. He was found praying all the time. He was found praying all the time. All the time. All the time he was praying. He would go out to pray. By Acts 9 he went to pray. Hallelujah. He just go out to pray. There's miracles, he went out to pray. Glory to God. Last style of prayer. Glory. Let's see something. In Luke, he carried his disciples to pray, they saw him pray. But look at Luke 18. He gives an instruction, and that instruction will be for spiritual good. Verse 1. It says, men ought always, he gave a parable, and he said what? Men ought what? Ought always to. Of always to and not to faint. That word faint there is to lose heart. Men ought always to pray. Always. It's always consistency. Amen? You will not feel that butterfly in your stomach. But you ought to pray. Hallelujah. Men ought always to pray. Is it an advice or an instruction? Instruction. So an instruction doesn't need to go well with you. You don't need to be always, I want to pray that. Yeah. No, sometimes you don't feel like it, but it's an instruction. You don't feel like carrying out an assignment. No, an assignment has been given, you have to carry it out. Hallelujah. So it's an instruction to pray. Consistent. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. We've been given that, so it's an instruction. Men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Not to faint. Not to lose heart. When you see a believer who easily just gives up, he's not a man of prayer. When you see a believer who easily gets offended, he's not a man of prayer. When you see a believer who is unstable in his Christian walk, he's not faith. He's not stable. Who is being tossed to and fro, he's not praying. A man of prayer. The man that speaks. Hallelujah. So he says, you must ought always. So prayer should be consistent. Prayer should be what? Consistent. Look at the disciples, the apostles. When Jesus left their side, what were they doing? They were praying. Hallelujah. They were praying. Acts 1, they were praying. Acts 2, they were praying. They had Holy Ghost meetings. Hallelujah. Here we go. Amen. Acts 4, they were praying. They threatened them, they were praying, because they had a lifestyle of prayer. Active, therefore, will give ourselves continually to prayer. This is that it was their lifestyle. Look at Paul in Acts 9. Paul got converted and Paul was praying. He just got converted and he was praying. Hallelujah. That is the lifestyle of prayer. You find Paul say, I bow my knees, right? Making mention of you always in my prayer. Making mention, so that means Paul has a lifestyle of prayer. How do I follow you? You must have a lifestyle of prayer. So I must have a lifestyle of prayer. Consistent. Hallelujah. Those are signals of spiritual growth. It's a signal that you are growing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will put a recipe for him. Hallelujah. Your pain. Remember, we say we'll find it as instructions, right? Right? In Colossians 4. Colossians 4. This one. It says, verses 2. It says, continue
in prayer
and watching the same with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. So what does it continue? Endlessly, steadfast in prayer. Hallelujah. Continue. That is keep at it. That's the word. Hallelujah. Keep at it. Stay praying. So to have those instructions in this, in the epistles. Continue praying. Do that in what I want. In 1 Thessalonians.
First Thessalonians 5:17.
So rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Pray without quench not the spirit's fire. Do you hear that? Pray without ceasing. So the believer has received that instruction to be consistent in the place of prayer. So the moment you are not consistently praying, is a signal that you are not growing. Hallelujah. It's a signal that you see, as a believer, as your pastor, I have set parameters to check my spiritual growth. Not that I've set, because scripture has already given you, right? So know it and see whether you're growing. Who says a pastor cannot stop growing spiritually? The pastor cannot just stop growing spiritually. The pastor can even start. What's the name of the other one? Yes, can backslide. But backslide, I mean, you are still going like this. Eh? A pastor can even stumble it better. Nose die. You don't know? Can nose die. They say, no, I'm not a pastor. We don't pray anymore. We just give time. Well, it's like, that's why I said, he'll be giving thanks with regret. Amen. Right. Check it. Those are things I have to show you. But when we begin to, by next week, I should tell you some things, some what spiritual growth now is. Right? So when you begin to check those things, some of, not all, but you're going to see things. We're going to talk about some of these things. Remember, I'll pick it up again. Right? Now, those things, when you watch them, you can now go back and now trace where the fault is coming from. You know, there's a way a believer will ask. You look at it and say, I'm not praying well. You go back again. Hallelujah. It's prayer. I've not been doing this. I've not been going to church. This is prayer. Hallelujah. That's what I told you. I told you something when we started. I said, knowledge that a believer knows and doesn't apply is a knowledge he doesn't know. Or a knowledge that a believer thinks he knows and doesn't apply it, he doesn't know it. Because the height of knowledge is application. All right, follow me. It's application, it's relationship. I love the way epignosis, I used to define it then and still now, there is knowledge with application, epignosis, right? The application with relationship, knowledge with relationship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I must relate with it. Hallelujah. Knowledge not related is not known. So you must relate with it. So prayer. Now say, I've not been praying well. A young lady once told the pastor when she backslid, she backslid, she was having trouble. And the pastor was like, what is this? Why? And I said, Pastor, I want to tell you the truth. He said, I don't have a prayer life. So I don't have a prayer life. Pastor said, you're a very sincere person. That is the cause. So we're going to develop a prayer life. Hallelujah. We're going to develop a prayer life. That is the cause. That's the reason why sometimes you are inconsistent. Hallelujah. Stay consistent praying. It's not every time you want to feel like praying, but whether you feel like it or you don't feel like you pray. Hallelujah. The things of the Spirit, after a while, will not make sense to a man that does not pray. After a while, it never makes sense to a man that doesn't pray. It's a lot. Hallelujah. A man
that is a man that prays always will always find a reason, will always embrace the things of the Spirit in him. That's a man that prays. A man that prays is a man who really believes in God's cause for the earth. That's a man that prays. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Yes. Let's pray in unknown. Let's just pray in tongues. Let's join our feet and pray in tongues for a while. Let's pray.